Cristo che la cedo, diavolo mi augurò, canto tu tutta sia, che sono alta per ancora, Santo Cristo che la cedo, diavolo mi augurò. Tamma morta buttasia, portata per ampara, quanto di stati d'accedo, portiamo la maia cura, tamma morta buttasia, portata per ampara, Santo Cristo che va a cedo, Personality of God is through his representative.
Unless one renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, one cannot possibly become completely detached from this material world, nor can he possibly manifest real knowledge. Would you like to repeat? The real interest of the living entity, is to get out of the nations. It causes him to endure repeated birth and death. The only remedy,
is
to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through his representative. Unless one renders devotional service, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead
Vasudeva,
one cannot possibly become completely detached. From this material world. Nor can he possibly, manifest real knowledge. This is the way to become detached from the artificial material condition. The only remedy is to take your Krishna consciousness and constantly engage in the devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is trying to be happy, and the process adopted to achieve that happiness is called self-interest. Unfortunately, the conditioned soul hovering within this material world does not know that its ultimate goal of self-interest was Vasudeva. Samskriti, or material existence, begins with the illusion bodily conception of life. And on the basis of this conception, there ensues a series of unwanted things, anarthas. These unwanted things are actually mental desires for various types of sense gratification. In this way, one accepts different types of bodies within this material world. One first has to control the mind so that the desires of the mind can be purified. This process is described in the Narada Pancharatra as Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tapra Trena Nirmanam. Unless one purifies his mind, there is no question of getting free from the material condition. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 176, Anarto Pasanam Chacha Bhakti Yoga Matoksidhi Lukasya Janato Vidvamsh Chakre Sakata Sangitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Anarthas, unwanted things, come down from one bodily life to another. To get out of this entanglement, one has to take to the devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word guru is significant in this connection. The word guru may be translated as heavy or the supreme. In other words, the guru is the spiritual master. Srila Rishabhadeva advised his sons, Guru Nasasya Namochayedhya Samukhetamritmu. One should not take up the post of spiritual master unless he is able to lead his disciple from the cycle of birth and death. Bhagavatam 5.5.18. Material existence is actually a chain of action and reaction brought about by different types of fruitive activities. This is the cause of birth and death. One can stop this process only by engaging oneself in the service of Vasudeva. Bhakti refers to those activities performed in the service of Lord Vasudeva. Because Lord Vasudeva is the supreme, one should engage oneself in his service, not in the service of demigods. Devotional service begins from the neophyte stage, the stage of observing the rules and regulations, and extends to the point of spontaneous loving service to the Lord. The purpose of all stages is to satisfy the Lord Vasudeva. When one is perfectly advanced in devotional service of Vasudeva, one becomes completely detached from the service of the body, that is, his designated position of material existence. After becoming so detached, one becomes actually perfect in knowledge and engages perfectly in the service of Lord Vasudeva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. Every living entity is by constitutional position an eternal servant of Krishna. As soon as one engages in the service of Lord Vasudeva, he attains his normal constitutional position. This position is called the liberated state. In the liberated state, one is situated in his original Krishna conscious position. He gives up all engagements in the service of matter, engagements concocted under the names of social service, national service, community service, dog service, automobile service, and so many other services conducted under the illusion of I and mine. As explained in the second chapter of the first canto, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyotita Janityashu Vairagyam Jnanam Charyadahaitam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Thus, one must engage in the service of Vasudeva without material desire, mental speculation, or food. Om Jnana Timidam Yasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Mirikam Vena Smai Shri Vena Shri Chaitanya Mano Nishtam Stavitam Vena Bhutale Swayam Nubhargamaya Dhanati Svapadam Vikam Deham Sri Guru Sri Uta Paramatma Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhetam Sadhutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Radha Sahagana Lalita Sri Radha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yudhanami Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Prakarane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Vidhamine Shri Varshavana Videhi Daitaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daye Prabhade Namaha Madhuryojvalade Madhya Shri Rupa Ruga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vidhaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Nuga Vivekava Siddhanta Brahmacharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambhode Parambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakshirananda Namine Gaurashakti Swarupaya Rupananga Vrayate Gora Vivala Homespan Yilde Sasatana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Kuryasha Rupa Sandhyo Kineta Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Oda Krishe Namaha Panchata Paramakam Krishnam Bhaktalakva Swarupakam Bhaktalakaram Bhaktavyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam
Hey Krishna, Arjuna, Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Govindakanta, Radha, Namo, Sivaye, Jayatam, Sudhavango, Mama, Manda, Mukherjee, Masarva, Svatarambo, Jau, Radha, Namo, Mano, Ditya, Vrindaranya, Kalpatamata, Srimad Ratnamkara Simhasanaso, Srimad Radha Shindha Govinda Deva, Prishadi Sevaman Smarami, Srimad Rasarasarami, Vamshi Vahata Tastitara, Karsham Venu Svane Adohi, Gopinata Sriye Svihana, Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Lakhe Vrindava Nishpade, Vrishavanu Sutre Devi, Pranamami Hare Priya, Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priya Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Kali Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinar Jai Nishinkar Jai Jai Nanashinkar Prahalada Desha Jaya Padmam Mukha Padmam Vrindam Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Klanir Bhavati Kalata Apyutanam Dharmasya Sadatmanam Jinyamyam Paritranaya Sarvanam Vinashaya Chatushritam Dharma Samstata Vartaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Manmana Bhavaman Bhakto Yachi Mam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yudhvayam Atmanam Atharayana Sarvadharmam Paridyaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarvapapiridhyo Jaya Shami Mahasutraha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vyadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Tathmanota Uttasya Yatoranartha Parampara Samshutista Yagatshedo Bhaktya Paramaya Guru Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Samahitaha Sadvichchinena Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Jana Yishyati Gopremanye Haribo.
This is Narada Muni speaking to King Prachinabhari, and first I offer my obeisances to all the devotees, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for your association allowing me to come here. And for this opportunity to speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is Narada Muni, who is the well wisher of every living entity, speaking, and just as is mentioned in the beginning of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when someone speaks on spiritual knowledge, three people become benefited. One is the speaker, another is the listener, and then everyone else in between, who hears the transcendental sound vibration. And Sri Narada Muni is instructing King Prachinabhari, but that vibration is being passed along so that we can hear it also. A great soul like Narada Muni has the quality, as spoken of by Mahakacharya, Mukya Prasada, which means that everything that comes from his mouth is for the benefit of others. And just by hearing such instruction, the knots of material existence become and time. And so he has given an allegorical description, or he already has. Has he given the allegory yet? I'm not sure he did exactly. Yeah. So Narada Muni speaks in many ways to different people to enlighten them. And in this case, in the case of Prachinabhari, he's given him an allegory about the body. And the soul within the body, the Puranjan, and how the soul trying to enjoy within the body. Purusha prakriti stohi bhukte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sarasaryoni janasmi. Krishna says much the same thing in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 22nd verse, when he says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhukte, that the soul, the living entity, tries to become the Purusha. Purusha prakriti stohi, and he's trying to enjoy the material nature, prakriti. And this is the cause of his moving from good situations into bad situations. This karanam, the cause, gunasangosya, the cause of this is association with the three modes of material nature, which make up this material world. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also describes the soul as living in a city of nine bodies. He says this body is a city of nine gates, which are the various knowledge gathering senses of the body. And, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's nine gates in the body. So we live in this body, and he's described how the soul tries to enjoy through these senses to enjoy the material world. So, this is folly for the soul. Krishna says, Aparyami tasthanyam prakritim divinikaram jiva bhuta mahabaho yayetam daryate jagat. That the soul is superior to matter. He's paraprakriti, and he's superior to the matter, which is called separated energy, bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano bhudirevacha ahankara ityame bhina prakriti rashtada, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are the separated material energies of Krishna, and then he says the soul is above those, he's higher. And however, he still becomes enamored and caught up in those inferior modes because of the fact that he's very small in relationship to them. And also Krishna says, Daivihi eshi gunamayi mama maya durakyaya mameve prapadyante mayami kantaravite. Those modes of material nature are divine. They're being controlled by him. So how is it the soul comes under the influence of matter, even though he's superior? We do at our temple. I come from California, and there we have a temple in San Jose, and the devotees are very fond of going door to door to distribute books. And when we first started going door to door, I was a little afraid that we would be disturbing people, but then I found out that actually everyone's watching television, and not so much of a disturbance because, television is actually a disturbance. but I was thinking about how television is inferior energy. You know, we look at it's just lights on the screen, actually. But there's the superior soul that's enamored of that light and has become captured by it. I read somewhere that average American watches 6 hours of television a day. And when I go on a walk every evening from my house, I go by one home where there's a man who always sits on a couch. I can see him through his window. And then every night when I leave for my walk, he's sitting there watching television. When we come back, he's watching television. Guys, you see God open up? So, although it's wood and wire and electricity, inferior elements, and even that soul, superior energy, uses his intelligence to create such things and put them together, then he becomes captured by it. And this leads, as this verse is saying, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, to an unwanted state of existence, anartha, which means a false value.
Artha means, you know, something valuable. So this is anartha. It means something that's not valuable, but it's still carrying it around. And that's an adverse condition for the living entity. Payam dvitiya abhinibeshita syat isha apetasya viparya yosmitihi. Kavi Yogendra says in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the soul, payam dvitiya abhinibeshita syat, becomes absorbed in something that's not Krishna. He sees, rather than seeing Krishna, he sees something separate from Krishna, dvitiya. And payam is the result, payam syat. If that arises for the living entity, because he is absorbed in that. Isha apetasya viparya yosmitihi means that his attention is turned away from his source, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's become absorbed in the shadow of the Lord, and therefore is frustrated. And these anartas are frustrating. We came out of the airport yesterday and noticed a lot of people smoking cigarettes, which is definitely an anartha. So one that Srila Prabhupada mentioned frequently, that trying to get pleasure from breathing in hot fire. In fact, he noticed in America there was a brand of cigarettes that was popular in the 1960s and 70s. And in some places it still is popular. The name of the cigarette is Kool, W-K. You don't have those here, I guess. But Prabhupada would say, he would notice that people were smoking cool cigarettes, but it's hot fire they're breathing into their lungs and thinking that they're going to get some pleasure from that. It's an anartha. And the this is due to ignorance. Ignorance of my original condition and how I can actually become happy. And that's mentioned in the verse I just quoted. Similar to what this verse is saying, that one can come out of that situation, the adverse situation where one's turned away from Krishna and actually becomes Krishna's competitor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, by turning one's attention back towards Krishna in one point in bhakti. Tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan Sattatam Mati, Shurtavya Kirtitavyascha Jaya Pujaschinityada. Sudha Goswami said to the sages of Anasaranya, the perfection of life can be attained, tasmad, therefore, ekina manasa, by fixing the mind in one pointed attention on Krishna. Through Shurtavya Kirtitavyascha, hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this verse, especially mentioned Guru in the Parampara, the symbol we mentioned by Kavi Yogendra, Bhaktyaikeyesham Gurudevatatma, that one must turn one's attention towards Krishna through Guru, and that way one can perfectly see Krishna. Sometimes people want to bypass the Guru, and I heard an interesting example of a telescope. Sometimes on mountaintops there are telescopes that one can view the heavens through, and they have a gigantic lens. And then on the other side, of course, to accommodate your eye, you have to look through the small end. But someone might argue, I don't want to look through the small end, I want to look through the big end. And if you do, what will you see? But if you do look through the small end, which is perfectly custom fit for you and for your eye, you'll see everything. So similarly, the guru may look localized, may look like a small thing, actually, but guru is a representative of Krishna. And when properly connected, one can see Krishna. One can see everything. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you know me, then you know everything. So you can see everything clearly through that. Even Sri Uddhava talked about the glories of, actually he was thanking Krishna.
Tam Vikam, he said that Tam Vikam, your form, you reveal yourself in two ways, internally as the Chaitya Guru and externally as the Acharya. And in that way, you direct us on your own path. And therefore, he says, I cannot express enough gratitude to you, because even if I had the lifetime, the lifespan of Brahma and his power, I would not be able to express enough gratitude to you for coming in the form of Guru, externally and internally as the Chaitya Guru. And of course, there are different kinds of gurus mentioned in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is called what? First chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that chapter about?
The spiritual masters.
The spiritual masters. So in the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's established with the spiritual masters, which is the medium for understanding Krishna. And there, Kaviraj Goswami explains that there are three categories of guru. One is the Vartmana Parakshaka Guru, which is the guru who shows one the path on to devotional service. And very interestingly, in that section, the guru of Dobhamangala Paco was mentioned as Chintamani, who was his girlfriend. And he had a close connection with her before he came to the devotional service. And as the story goes, one night, when he was very eager to see her, he went through a storm, climbed over a wall, grabbed onto a rope, which turned out to be a snake, went across a flooded river by grabbing onto a log, which turned out to be a body, or alligator or something. And by the time he got in to see his girlfriend, he looked disheveled, bedraggled, and like she knew he had been through a lot. And she said, if you had this much devotion for God as you do for this dead body of mine, then you'd be a great devotee of the Lord. And that's, just in that instant when he heard that, he was actually transformed and began his path of devotional service. Some living entities who are, they have some stored sukriti already in their heart. As soon as they hear something about the path of devotional service, then immediately they awaken. I heard it from one of the Sandharvas, just a short passage about a devotee who was walking along the common road and then heard a mother or a sweeper on the road calling out to her daughter, saying, now it's time to come home. And when he heard that, he immediately dropped what he was doing, which was some kind of business affair, and he took to full devotional service. Actually, there's a mention of this in the Nectar Devotion. There's a devotee named Lal Babu, and in Vrindavan there's a temple of Lal Babu. Then he enters into the Gopinath Bazaar. And it's a beautiful temple, and the story is that he was a very dedicated business magnate and very successful also, and that he had had an experience like this where suddenly his bhakti was awakened by hearing someone speak. And such occurrences come through people generally, and that these people are the Vartmana Prakashaka Gurus who show us the path. They may not be fully awaken themselves, so Krishna can work through them. The first person who introduced me to the path of devotional service was Richie Corsa. I was in high school, and I was sitting at home meditating on a candle flame. He brought me a Bhaktivedanta magazine and knocked on my door. And I was also performing Mona Vrats and not speaking, so when he knocked on my door, I didn't answer. But he called through the door and said, I know you're in there. I'm leaving you this magazine because Hare Krishna took my last 50 cents. I didn't want this magazine, but I think you'll like it. And I did. He left it outside. When I read it, I saw Prabhupada. I've been looking for a spiritual master. And immediately, I became attracted. And read all the articles and wanted to become a devotee. So when I saw Richie Corsa years later, I said, you're my Vartmana Prakashaka Guru. He said, you know, I haven't done many good things in my life, but if I can consider that... He actually considers, you know, I brought somebody to God. So
that'll be the success of my life, even if I don't do anything else. And another kind of guru is the Shiksha Guru. So the Shiksha Guru is the instructor guru who gives us instructions on the path of devotional service. And for someone who's sincere, there's no limit to how much one needs instruction in devotional service, because it's a state of hunger for reaching Krishna, loving, or a kind of an intense greed to improve oneself for the sake of serving Krishna. And this is unlimited, actually. The quality of our service can expand unlimitedly. There's no point at which to say, oh, this is good enough. We just leave it at that. You know, and deity worship, we don't say, that's clean enough. There is no such thing. When deity worship is going on, the cleaning is going on constantly. In fact, there's a description of the queens in Dwarka. The palaces are spotless, but still they're sweeping. It's kind of devotion is there. There's a refinement that takes place. And a greed that grows within one's heart when one realizes actually one's highest prospect in life is to serve Krishna. Kama dinam katina katida alita durvideshas tesham jata mahina karuna napraha milkshantihi. In the Pajavali, there's a verse about the devotee who's awakening to this prospect of devotional service in his or her life, and that is that he says, how many ways and for how many countless lifetimes have I served the bad masters of the senses? They've never given me any time off. They've never given me mercy. And I've never even cared to ask why I was following the bad masters. And everyone does. That's what this material world is. It's a slavery to the senses. That's why in the very beginning of the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says, Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jipa vegam udra pasta vegam itam vegam yogisha heta tira sarvamat imam prithivinsa shishya. That if someone is not slave to the senses, then that person becomes a spiritual master. Because the master of this world is the senses. You want me to prove it? Shall I prove it? Does anybody here have a job? Have you worked for a boss? I'll prove that you don't. What's your boss's name? Jason? Okay, we'll call him Rick. The next time you go in to your client, Rick, and he says, I'd like you to still come in and work, but there's just one little detail. I'm not going to pay you anymore. Will you keep going? You don't work for him. You work for the money. And everyone works for money. And the reason we work for money is because we need it to stay in a house, stay warm, eat food, and things like that. That's for our senses. So everyone's a servant of the senses, actually, in this world. We don't serve the boss. The real boss is the senses. Therefore, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. If one becomes unentangled from the senses, then one's actually free. And that's why Rupa Goswami says that's a guru. It's like in university, the professor has a position called tenure. Tenure means you can't be fired. Why is that important for a university professor, do you think? To not be fired. He can speak freely, right? So he's not, it's like he's not in for the money, because if someone's paying you and you have to say what they want you to say, like it used to be in the old days when writers and poets would write things, they would do so when they were commissioned by kings and queens to write books and poems and things like that, and pieces of music. And before the thing would come out, the king or queen would look at it, and they didn't like the way it was going. In fact, they couldn't, in the poem or the story, they couldn't portray the king as being like a bad guy and still get paid or even live. So they had to be really careful about what they wrote. So similarly, in the university environment, the idea is that You're not beholden to the employer. You can be creative and actually, you know, develop theories and say things that might sound a little outlandish. That's how, you know, education develops and things like that. So similarly, a person who's not on the take, so to speak, of the senses, and that means everyone's on the take in the material world, because like, well, I can't quite do that because I gotta get paid and I gotta take care of my senses. And therefore, no one can really, be completely open and honest and do what they want to do. So a person who's controlled the senses and is no longer, you know, the senses are no longer his boss, can move freely in this world and actually give real spiritual knowledge. Kama, dinam, kapina, kapita, palita, runigesas. These are the bad masters of this world. And, utsujai kanata, yarupate, sampata, lapta buddhis, says, same verse. He's saying that, now, my intelligence has awakened. Lapta buddhi, I gained my intelligence. And because of that, now I'm praying for some personal service to Krishna. And I came in a roundabout way, but the point was that, when we advance in spiritual life, that we have this hunger to advance in devotional service because our intelligence has awakened. And I realize I'm leaving behind the bad masters of the senses. And as Prabhupada called it, I love this, the material world is a bad bargain. And he said, make the best use of a bad bargain. Have you ever had a bad bargain? Have you ever been ripped off? I got ripped off, now what do I do? And now you have to make the best use of it. So we've been ripped off. We went for the bad thing. And one way or another, somehow or another, Prabhupada says, we've come to this material world and we've gotten a bad bargain. So now you have to make the best use of it. So that is in utilizing our time and our energy to turn towards Krishna. And that's the message of this verse. From that, a devotional service, the direct process of devotional service, was a narco pasanam shakshad kapti yoga mahotaji. Lokasya ajanako vidyam chakre satata samhita. Vyasadeva, our well wisher, has specifically compiled this knowledge, eternal knowledge, and disseminated it for the benefit of everyone so that they can take it up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teaching to Sanatana Goswami said, Maya bhukta jivaranahi svata krishna. Yeah. Jivara kripaya koila, Krishna Veda Purana, that automatically the conditioned soul doesn't come out of this. It's not svata, it's not automatic that he can come out. He's entranced by Maya since the time immemorial and conditioned. He's a bound down jiva, bound down by the most material nature, tied up. So he needs an outside force to bring him out of the clutches of the most material nature. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, told Sanatana Goswami, as one is wandering and wandering in this world, one needs a devotee physician. Yeah. And the devotee physician has instructions and hymns. These two things. And by taking the instructions and the hymns, then that the knot of material life, the illusion that I'm that I have some wealth here in the material world, that I can, if I just adjust a little bit more, something more, then I can actually become happy. This is the ongoing hard struggle for existence that Palamar is described as Mrigatrishni Rupa, means going towards a mirage in the desert. Putra Ashisha Shruti Sukham Mrigatrishni Rupa. He said, it's just like happiness you hear about. Shruti Sukham. Sukham means happiness, and Shruti means to hear. So you hear about the happiness in the material world. Did you hear about it? Did you? You heard something about it? Did you find it? Yeah, that's why you're here, right? You hear about it all the time. I just mentioned this the other day. My wife and I, Nirkul is my wife, just sitting on that chair. We came here to form a wedding for Partha Sarathi and his fiance. And in the meantime, we also went to Hungary and visited Budapest, and we went out to see Shivra Maharaj and Keshi Bharti Maharaj, who are my old friends. We used to do book distribution together in the old days.
And in the process, you know, we were traveling around to different airports, and when we got to Brussels, we've been there twice. We've named it the most confusing airport that we've ever been to. Probably our fault, but anyway. One of the things I noticed as we were wandering around trying to find our way in the airport was that there are advertisements in several places. We had just come a long way from California, and then we saw a sign sort of said, "Welcome to Belgium," and then soon afterwards there were other signs saying, "Why don't you go to France?" And, you know, if I went to France, I'm sure I'd see signs saying, "Why don't you try Germany?" When we get to Germany, there's another sign that says, "You know, go to Africa." You go to Africa, Australia is the place. And no matter where you go in this world, there's always some suggestion that there'll be some other place for you that might be happy. Not right now, you're not happy, but in the future, you'll be happy. This is called Mrigachishti Rupa. It means the mirage in the desert. It looks like real water, but it's not. It's a reflection of the water. And in the desert, animals, they run for that, but they never actually get it, and they fall down dead. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers to Lord Nishinga, said, "Kutra ashisha shuti sukham rigachishni rupa." Kutra means, where is it? Everyone's talking about it, the happiness you get in the material world, but did anybody actually ever get it? And the answer comes later, or earlier, in his teachings. He says, everyone tries for material happiness, and the result is that he doesn't get it. In fact, he says, no one in the history of the material world, and that's, you know, continual, has ever gotten the result they wanted. That's really bad odds. Really discouraging. I mean, it should be discouraging, but the amazing thing is it's not. Everyone's still going, we can still get it. But that's because of ignorance. That's because of not knowing who we are, where we are. Therefore, this is sambandha jnana. It means knowledge of our relationships. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa parayasa. We have an eternal kinship with the Lord. We're never actually separated from Him, but we're in a reverse condition. We've turned around. The prayers personified Vedas say, just like a homeless person, he's suffering because of lack of prospect in life and no means. And then someone comes along and says, "What's that around your neck?" And then, "What? Oh, it's a valuable gem. You've been wearing it this whole time, but you didn't know." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it's like the poor man and the astrologer. The astrologer comes along to the poor man, reads his chart, and says, "Hey, you're not actually poor, because what you don't know is your father, who you've been estranged from, died in a distant place, but he left you his entire inheritance, and you're wealthy." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How long does it take for a poor man who finds out that he's rich to change his mood in life? Approximately, how long?" It's instantaneous, right? It's not like you have to wait. And Mahaprabhu said, as soon as someone finds out, actually, you're rich, you're not poor, then it's instantaneous. Within a second, it becomes happy. So similarly, the soul who thinks, "I have to go to work today, because I have to feed my senses," who finds out, you know, you don't belong to this world after all. You're from the spiritual world. You never die. I remember the first time I read that in the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter. You know all those verses? Jatasyahi dhruvo dhruvam janmam mritasya. When Krishna's talking about how the soul doesn't die, it can't be cut, it can't be burned. And I changed my life. Instantly, when I read that, I became a different person, a different trajectory in life. So this is sambandha jnana. My friend Satyadev, who was a paramedic for 20 years in San Francisco, he'd go rescue people off the street all the time. And he said that in the Chinese culture, one of the things is that they do is they don't trust banks, so they sew money into their clothes. And so all the time, when he had to perform operations on the street for people, so he sometimes has to cut their clothes. He said, all the time he cut their clothes open and money would start falling out.
And they had forgotten about it. A lot of times they had become senile or something like that, and they have a coat that, you know, they have $100,000 in it or something. And so he was comparing that to our condition in the material world, that I've forgotten who I am, what I actually have. And therefore I'm going for anartha, I'm going for the false value, the thing that looks like that it should be okay, but or that there should be some enjoyment. There is none. So, Maya Bhukta Jivarangam Hiswata Krishna Jnana Kripaya, out of mercy, Krishna Veda Puran has given the Vedas and given this knowledge to wake up the soul. And Anartha Pasanam Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Mahotsaje, and it teaches the direct process of devotional service. Through that, one immediately comes to one's original position without waiting. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyotita Janaya Yashuvaya Yam Yam Chaya Haitukam. Sutta Goswami says, and quoted in this purport, that by devotional service, the direct process of hearing and chanting, then immediately one gets causes knowledge and detachment from the world, Yam Vairagya, come as a concomitant factor. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes this as the soul waking up from his condition. Yanina tutadagyanam yesham nashitam atmanah hesham adityavajyanam prakashayati tatparam. He says, when you're in ignorance and you get knowledge, then it's like the sun coming out in the daytime. And when the sun comes out, then you see everything clearly for yourself and you know how to act properly. No more anartha. Any questions? We just have a few minutes. He gave me a little leeway. He said, it's the long time I stop right before 9 o'clock when I'm coming. Just, I'll take a couple questions or reflection. Reflection means that anything that's stuck in your mind, any one point from the purport or from our discussion that you're taking away in your pocket. Or a challenge of some kind.
Thing, but I don't remember exactly the expression you used, that Narada Muni is speaking for the benefit of everybody, everywhere.
Oh, Mukya Prasad, and where that's found is in the, it's a, in the purport to the verse that was given by Ishwara Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, he went to Gaya, and he took initiation from Shulishvara Puri. And then he went away for some time, and he came back to his spiritual master, and he said, what kind of mantra did you give me? Because it's driven me mad. And the spiritual master became very pleased, and then said, now I'll give you the most essential verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vrata svapriya namakirtya jatam bhagavad chitachukta hasatito rautiti rautikayati imadvan vritti lokapaya. He said, when one takes a vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then one becomes attracted to a particular name of the Lord. And then after that, one's heart melts. Dhruta Chitta. And then after that, one acts like a crazy person, dancing in public, or rolling on the ground, or crying, spontaneously, or being stunned. And not caring for outsiders, doesn't even notice the outsiders. So, and there's a lengthy purport to that verse, and in it there's mention that not all advanced souls display symptoms like that. They don't all blow on the ground and act like madmen or women. And however, Madhvacharya says there are two symptoms that are always there in an advanced person. One is mukhya prasada, and that means that whatever comes from his or her mouth is always beneficial for others. No other ones? Huh? It's related. It's steadiness. Steadiness. Always steady in their service to Krishna. You can boil it down to those two things. Until Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita in his purport in the second chapter, Arjuna asks about an advanced person, how does he sit, how does he walk, and how does he speak? Prabhupada says that the most important thing is how he speaks. Because a fool can sit there for a long time and look like a really, you know, elevated person, and then he spoke. He had nothing to say, and then he said it. And then it comes out. But an advanced person actually, you know, speaks always like whatever Prabhupada says for the benefit of others, and practically the way we say it, everything he said was poetical. It was like, I mean, his purports are definitely poetical, but even his quips and the way he would answer people in two or three words and the circumstances and the way he did things were so profound. There was no time when, you know, he did something and made a movement or something like that that wasn't profound. A self-realized person moves in the world for the sake of Krishna, not because of being bound to the senses and being a slave to working hard for the senses. And therefore, such a person's movement in this world is significant. Everything he or she does is significant and for the benefit of others. Mukti Prasad. Thank you for bringing that back. Yeah.
And how she kind of associates a kind of beauty with what he did twice, but for sure there was no nothing there. And how also devotional service, there's a risk that you're coming to a table that has a child. And if you do it, everybody will think, there's some stuff behind there that no one will notice. So how do you talk to them?
Vigilance. And it's a matter of really introspecting all the time and being careful, because as long as we're embodied, there's a risk of something creeping back in. Prabhupada described Maya as a silver-tongued salesperson who comes to the door and knocks on the door, knock, 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 and, you know, we'll just open a little bit. And once you open a little bit, then the foot's in the door, and then, you know, wife comes home and I bought a vacuum cleaner for $1,000. We don't need a vacuum cleaner. And I have it under an artha. So Maya's like that, knocking all the time, and we have to be careful to screen. And really that's the purport in that section that you mentioned about putting in the Gudichi temple is really about that vigilance. A gardener also, similarly, is very careful. I garden. And I can't believe the different kinds of bugs and weeds that come into the garden all the time that I've never seen before that show up unannounced. And it does help to know what they are. Like there's a devotee who helps us in our garden, and he'll come and say, that one can take out right away because it's invasive. There's certain kinds of, it's a Bermuda grass, and he said it's got these little roots that if you leave them in and you say, oh, that's okay, it's just a little piece of grass, you know, and you go on vacation and come back, it'll take over your whole yard and kill everything else. You better be careful and know what it is. And you have to be vigilant, because if you let your garden go for a little while without weeding it on a regular basis, then the weeds come up. And if you don't know what they are, and you might think it's the same as the bhakti creeper. So that section really is about being vigilant and being very careful to look inside and make sure that what's growing is correct. Therefore, we should have constant guidance. It's important to have guidance from the spiritual master, from the shastra, and from one's peers also. To be around one's peers in devotional service, to check oneself from puja and pratishta. Taranga Ramani is one of the anarthas mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Panamani, which means that one gets swept away. As one of the anarthas is, one starts to make advancement in devotional service, and then because of that, people come forward and say, oh, you're really becoming advanced, and then you start thinking, oh, I'm really becoming advanced. And that becomes an anartha, and it blocks progress in devotional service. So to avoid that, one should surround oneself with peers who are Guhyamakyati Prichati, who can speak their mind and who are not afraid to assist us in removing these anarthas of fame, adoration, and distinction, which really kill the progressive spirit of devotional service. So, I just, one word is vigilance. We have to be vigilant and always be on guard that something will creep in. And also, we have to be open and humble, which means that there's a phrase, I'd rather be spoiled by praise than improved by criticism. And does it hurt when someone gives you criticism? Or do you crave criticism so that you can actually, you know, take those weeds out? We should ask for criticism. Please tell me where there's room for improvement. And then be ready for it. Brace yourself. Okay, now take it. Now do the weeding. Do the work. It's work. And when we do that, actually the reward is there. The reward is unconditional surrender. We can actually see clearly when we're chanting and express to Krishna, when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If we can identify that singular feeling that I want to surrender, that I want to be sincere, even if that anarthas are still plaguing me, if I can identify that emotion coming from my soul that I want to surrender to you, even though even though I'm encumbered at this point, I want to surrender. And that's, Prabhupada said in a letter to one devotee, that that's non-different from surrender. If you can catch that thread of, I want to be sincere, I want to surrender, if you can catch that thread, then you are surrendered. That's part of the process. So it's by till, and I thank you very much. All goes to the assembled devotees, all goes to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopremana, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.